If you'd like to move closer to Brother Vieira, it would be wonderful. We could all be closer and closer to the altar. Amen. The closer, the better. The closer, not just closer to the altar, but closer to the heart of God. But it has to do with being closer to the altar too. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you for supporting our church. And thank you for supporting the ministry. You are very important to God. We appreciate every one of you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Today, the teaching lesson today is, the title is The Precious Thin Line That Separates Temptation from Sin. I'm going to be teaching you on Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. So I would like you to open your Bibles on the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. We're going to read it together, and I'm going to be teaching in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. If you found in your Bibles, please say amen. If you don't have a Bible, you can follow through to the screen. If we can have the screen to work. Amen. Praise God. All right. So in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11, it says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward anhungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.' Jesus said unto him, 'It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.' Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and shew him all the kings of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, 'All these things I'll give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me.' Then said Jesus unto him, 'Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.' Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." Let's close our eyes right now. Let's ask the Lord to speak in our hearts, to reveal this holy scripture into our spirit, to reveal that in our minds, to help us to grow in the knowledge of the perfect stature of Jesus Christ. Let's pray right now and ask the Lord and invite his word to come in our hearts so we can hold on to the word of God. God, we came here this morning. We came here because of you. We want to worship you. We want to praise you. We want to grow in you. We came here to learn from you. You speak to your people like you spoke through the prophets, like you spoke through the disciples, like you have been speaking through the man of God in this congregation. Lord, once more, come down from heavens and touch our hearts, touch our minds, and reveal your will to us. Reveal your word to us. In the name of Jesus that we come to you. We open our hearts to receive, oh God. We give you our attention. We give you our focus. We separate this time, oh Lord, to learn from you. As we open our hearts, as we open our minds to hear from you. And to absorb and soak ourselves into your word, which is the fountain of the living water. We praise you and we thank you in the name of Jesus. Put your hands together and say, speak to me, oh Jesus. You may have a seat. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. We all going through some tribulation in our lives. We go through battles, uncertainty. We go through struggles. All of us are going through problems. All of us, one way or another, we are facing battles in our walk with the Lord. As a matter of fact, I have heard a preacher saying that if you're not battling something, it's because there is something wrong with your faith. Because if you are siding with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are in the center of God's will, you must be going through something. Hallelujah. We all are going through tribulations. Amen. And many people, we think that our problems are worse than others, or sometimes we hear about other people going through problems and we think, oh, their problem is much worse than what I'm going through. But the matter of fact is that we all are being attacked by all sides, by all ways in this world. This is a world that is hostile to the gospel, was hostile against Christ. And Jesus said, I suffer persecution, and so do we. We suffer persecution. We suffer with the suffering of everyday life. But today we are going to learn from the Holy Scripture to recognize our attackers. And the attacks that we suffer, let's recognize them. In the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 1, it says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Jesus was led by the Spirit. You see, Jesus was led by the Spirit. The Spirit of God does not tempt people. It led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So we all are, if even Jesus with the Holy Ghost, he was conceived by the Holy Ghost, a man full of power and the Spirit of God dwelling in him. Jesus, the manifestation of God into a flesh. Jesus is God himself that came down here in this world wrapped in a flesh. He is being tempted. And sometimes we come to church and we think that we are stronger than Jesus. We can't even be tempted. Jesus himself was tempted. The incarnation of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, filled of power and glory. The perfect man, he was tempted. Many Christians believe that once they are baptized in the name of Jesus, they receive the Holy Ghost and filled with the power from God. Hallelujah. They believed that they will never be tempted. And this is a mistake. Jesus, the perfect man, the perfect creation, the manifestation of God himself, was tempted. But there are things that he's teaching us in here today. He's teaching us that there is a difference between being tempted and sinning. The devil would like us to think that we shouldn't be tempted. If you have the Holy Ghost, if you are baptized in Jesus' name, you are full of the Holy Ghost, you have the power to overcome any sin. And we do, because this is the Word of God. God is with us. We have the power through the blood of the Lamb, through the Holy Ghost of God. And yet, we still can be tempted. Jesus was tempted. Jesus is teaching us that it's not a shame to be tempted. It's not a shame to go through temptations. And the title of the message today is the thin line, the precious thin line that separates between temptation and sin. There is a difference between being tempted and sinning. There is a difference. Being tempted, you are just being tempted. Temptation is a temptation. See? Sin is a sin. There's two different things. Sometimes they are very close together. And sometimes it's even harder to see where is the line that separated. But we're going to learn today how to identify that line, how to find that line that separates between being tempted and sinning. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus himself was tempted. There is no shame in being tempted. There is no, it doesn't make you a less Christian if you are being tempted. Jesus is teaching us that temptations is part of our human nature. It's part of our fallen nature. Even he was tempted. He's teaching us as long as we are being tempted, we're not sinning. Because there is a difference between being tempted and sin. Hallelujah. Praise God. Many Christians, not knowing the difference between being tempted and sinning, they fall into despair. They fall into desperation. And the devil wants them to believe that they are being tempted. And that make you feel shame that you are being tempted. And the devil accuser. He's on the throne of God, looking for anything to accuse us. And he look at the faithful men of God, and he whisper in his heart and say, oh, look at you. You're being tempted on doing this. Oh, look at you. Oh, you're being tempted in that too. So we need to learn that a temptation is a temptation. You're not sinning for being tempted. And turn to the devil and say, you take your temptation out of my life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to learn more about this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Temptation is not a sin. They might be very close, almost together. However, there's still the precious line. There's precious thin line that separates them both. Temptations will always be a temptation. Sin will always be a sin. Like a preacher said once, you can't stop the birds from flying above your head, but you can stop them from from building a nest on it. If we could reach every Christian in the world to let them know that there is a difference between being tempted and sinning, there is a difference. You are being tempted. If we could warn people, if we could let them know that's just a temptation, you still have the power in your hands. You still can move on, and there is a stone in there. It's trying to block you. It's just a temptation. Watch out! It's a temptation. No, you're not fall yet. You didn't commit the sin yet. You're not there yet. It's just a temptation. It's inciting you. It's an excitement coming to you. It's just something provoking you. It's just something trying to seduce you. Don't go. It's a temptation. If we could do that, hallelujah, we would have so many Christians living in victory. If we know that when you are being tempted, you are just being tempted. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. In 1 John, in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, if any man sin, even if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Because even if we cross the line, God is almighty to forgive. It's not about falling down. It's about getting up. Hallelujah. Because even if you fall down seven times you're going to get up and walk in the name of Jesus. Because the blood of Jesus will cover our sins through the blood of the Lamb. Oh, our forgiveness. We can reach forgiveness of our sins. Jesus says, God is mighty to forgive. Take your cross and follow me. It's not about falling down. It's about getting up. Getting up and walk. Hallelujah. Praise God. In chapter 4, verse 1, it says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. It's always in the wilderness. The wilderness of our hearts. The wilderness in our minds. In our spirit. It's not necessarily a place. The wilderness is always, there is always darkness and loneliness. The wilderness inside of us. We all have that place of a wilderness in our hearts. The uncertainty, the doubt, the empty void place. And the bigger the place, the more space has the devil to work on. And we just need to learn from Jesus to use the word of the Lord. Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. We already learned that we have three enemies: the devil, the flesh, and the world. They all offer temptations, but we have our weapons. We have our weapons of mass destruction of hell. We have our faith. We have the Word of God. And we have the Holy Ghost of God, that we can overcome the world. We can overcome the flesh, and we can overcome the devil. Hallelujah. Because God has given to us the weapons that we can fight with them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That gives us victory against all temptations. Hallelujah. Because today the topic is overcoming temptations and the difference between temptations and sin. There is no shame in being tempted, but there's shame in the sin. When you are being tempted, it's just a temptation. But when you sin, the sin brings death. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, it says, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward unhungered. Unfortunately, usually after great dedication and sacrifices comes great temptation. When the tempter came to me, he said, if thou be Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And when we read that, the devil saying, if thou is the Son of God, command that those stones be made into bread. The devil always use the selfishness, the self-rewarding, the self-benefits. If thou is the Son of God. And sometimes the devil has whisper in your ear with temptation saying, if thou is a child of God, where is your brand new car? Where is it at their house? I think I already said that before. I don't want to be repetitive, but this is a fact. Many times, many Christians, they think that they have to have the latest cars or car in order to be really blessed of God. Like the devil turned to Jesus and said, if thou is the Son of God, if thou is the Son of God. See, he's talking with God himself in the flesh and said, change these stones into bread. And Jesus turned and said, it's written, see in here, it's written, Jesus answered and said, it's written, he based completely in the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we see that the devil doesn't want us to be content with the things that we have. We always want more and more and more. But God wants us to be content with what God has given to us. Then the devil, he keep insisting with him. But Jesus said, it's written, we shall not live by bread alone. In that sense that we don't, it's not the material that we have in our lives alone, but by the word of God. Not by bread alone, but by the word of God. Like God took care of his children Israel, that they through the desert, God provide all their needs to them, and God is providing for his people right now. Then the devil said, it's written that the devil took him actually into a holy city, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. They had this huge temple in Jerusalem. And the devil went with Jesus up there on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said, if thou is the Son of God, cast thyself down, verse 6. Cast thyself down, for it's written, he shall give his angels charge concern thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Is that the devil is trying to tell Jesus, and we can learn from the word of God that the devil wants us to think that just because we are Christians, just because we are faithful to God, we are washed by the blood of Jesus, we have the Holy Ghost, we are baptized, we are strong in God, we still sometimes subject to the things of this life. And in here, he say, if thou is the Son of God, he's trying to put doubt in our hearts. Doubt that God is not able to deliver. Or he's trying to put up a big show. Let me give you a little bit of history in Israel. Back when Jesus was on the earth physically, there was a rumor in Israel that the Messiah would jump out of the pinnacle of the temple and the angels would come and pick him up. And many people in Israel, they were in there looking to see their wonder. Was a rumor that was there, that that was going to happen. So what the devil would like to do was a big show that everybody could see. And sometimes we come to church, we are faithful to God. We do the word of God. But it seems that it's not showing. Nobody sees what we do. We preach, we teach. Sometimes we preach, and it seems like nobody's listening. We preach, we teach, seems like nobody's learning. Or we do things and the ministry never sees what we are doing. And you feel like, am I doing for God? But nobody sees. It's not a big show. See, I'm not in there on the stage. And Jesus is teaching us that, no, you don't have to be on the stage. You don't have to be in front of the multitudes. You don't have to be in primetime TV preaching. Because our God, he sees in secret. Hallelujah. He said, when you pray, go to your closet. Oh, in the due time, God is going to reward you. In the due time, he is going to, hallelujah, reward you. Because we do all things for our Heavenly Father. Because he sees what we do in secret. It's not about putting up a big show with the wonders and all these supernatural things happening. And Channel 5 comes in and CNN comes in. It's about pleasing God. It's about relationship with God. It's not to be shown by man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The best role model Christians that we have are usually anonymous people. Christians, they're not just looking for recognition. Christians, they play in their closet. And they witness from lifestyle. You look at them and they don't have to say a word. They don't have to carry that banner or that big cross around their neck showing that they are Christians. You can look at them and you can see they are Christians by the way they act, by the way that they behave themselves, by the way they talk. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because they have the light. You see the joy of God, the peace of God that reflected through them. The most wonderful compliment in my life is when somebody notice that I'm a Christian and ask, are you a Christian? Oh, that's the most wonderful compliment. Without saying, hallelujah, that should be one of the most wonderful compliment you should have from someone. A completely stranger that comes to you and ask, are you Christian? Because the person feels something about you. You right there in the grocery store paying for something and somebody in the line turn and ask. And oh, how wonderful it is. Oh, how joy that it is to know that the world can see that we serve a wonderful God. And we don't have to be showing and make up parades and putting a note in our forehead. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's by our lifestyle. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said unto him, it's written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. In verse 7.
We notice a bad wind here for the term "it is written." The devil knows the scripture and is willing to use it to deceive, to twist it. It is written. See? I like doing prophecies. Let me just tell you something. I love talking about prophecies, end time prophecies. And as I was preparing my prophecy lessons, God spoke through me. He spoke to me about a loser spirit, that when you talk about prophecy, because the devil, he likes to twist the word of the Lord. And he tried to convince Christians that we have lost a cause and a battle because of Bible prophecy. And therefore, many times we, instead of being fighting, we become complacent. Because it's Bible prophecy anyways. You see? The loser spirit follows the spirit of prophecy. It's a deceiving. It offers a false peace. It permeates the church, Bible studies, preachings. Let me just give you an illustration. Most of the time we teach end times how the world would be like the days of Noah with the Sodomites. The world would be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, this is a scripture, because the word of the Lord says that in the end times, we will have, the world would be like the days of Lot, filled with Sodomites, and a lot of corruption around the world. And then we hear how the government wants to legalize same-sex marriage. And then the loser spirit gets a hold of a brother, and he says, he seems to be very spiritual, very mature Christian. Oh, brother, this is already prophesied. So we might as well get our chair, sit down, get a cup of coffee, cookies, and let's wait to see. Like Jonah. Jonah went there, he preached in Nineveh. And say that God's going to destroy that city. And if the city doesn't repent, and Jonah got his chair and he sat down there waiting to see God to bring destruction about Nineveh. As a matter of fact, if you read the story, you're going to see that God made the tree to grow that would create a shade for him. So he would be comfortable there waiting. But that's the attitude of some Christians. I need to call you tonight to let you know that we're in the middle of a battle. And this is a loser spirit. We're still in a battle. We can't make things easier for the devil and his agenda. We know that the world will be filled with Sodomites in weakness. In the end time and corruption. But what if Jesus is not coming really soon? What if Jesus wants to give us 100 more years? What if Jesus wants to give us one more 1,000 years more in this world? Because when the disciples asked him about John, Jesus turned and said, "What is up to you? If I let John, the disciple that I love, to never die, what is up to you?" It's God's choice. What if you're not really close to his second coming? So we are called to the battle. As far as I know, the earth is not filled with Sodomites. There are people by dozens, by hundreds, by thousands, by millions, being saved, getting the Holy Ghost, being baptized in Jesus' name. Put your hands together. Let's give some praises to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we are ready for a battle. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just like Brother Luma always reminds us, if my people that call upon my name humble themselves and cry out to me, I'll heal their land and I'll give them more time before my judgment. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. This is just an illustration on how the devil can twist the word and make us believe that the battle is lost. But brothers and sisters, just for the sake of example, every time that they had the same-sex marriage, they had to vote. The people voted no in all 50 states. Overwhelming voted no. So hallelujah. As we go to Matthew chapter 8, again, the devil take him on an exceeding high mountain and show him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and say unto him, all these things will I give to thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. The devil is a liar. He has nothing to offer you. He always offers you something that he can't give it to you. This is the very nature of temptation. Because a temptation is very abstract. It's that thought that comes in your mind. It's something that entices you. That could be really great if we would have it. Or if we could do it. Temptation is the enticement, the appeal, the attraction of sin. Is the pull in you, trying to pull you to sin. You're not sinning. It's pulling you. It's trying to appeal to you. What if you could do this? What if you could have that? It comes as a thought. It's just a thought in your mind. Once one crosses the line and sin, the sin itself brings shame. Brings shame and death. Sin always comes with disappointment. You always have that feeling. During the temptation process, you think of sin as being a great thing. When you think of sin as being a great thing, you're just being tempted. But once you cross the line, then comes the disappointment. You have the feeling that you were just being tricked. You were just being tricked by the devil. In verse 9 it says, and say unto him, all these things I'll give to thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. He tries to bargain with the things that he has not. He tries to bargain with you. Not all kingdoms belongs to the devil. We need to claim America to God. We need to claim this nation. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't let the devil to deceive you. The battle has just begun. Hallelujah. One nation under God. Declare these people of God. A Christian nation. America. The land of the free. The home of the brave. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Then Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord, thy God, and him only thou serve. The devil liveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. Jesus teaches us that during all the process, all the dialogue that Jesus is having with the devil, he didn't say, in the first time, get thee hence, Satan. Jesus resists. Sometimes in our walking with God, is not by praying alone. It's not by fasting alone. It's not by reading the word of God alone. We need to resist temptations. Hallelujah. You need to resist the devil, and the devil shall flee from you. Hallelujah. Because all the devil wants you to do is to cross that line. And he wants to put shame on you for being tempted. But Jesus taught us that there is no shame on being tempted. Even Jesus was tempted. Why wouldn't you? If you're being tempted, don't feel shame of being tempted. Shame on the devil that is putting temptations in your way. But you have the power of God to overcome any temptation, because you have the Holy Ghost on you. You have the power of God in you. You have the Holy Ghost, and you have your faith with you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, God is with you. God teaches us to resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. Remember, it's just a temptation. It's not sin. Some Christians, unfortunately, they already in sin. And they try to convince themselves, oh, it's just a temptation. They already living in sin. But they try to convince themselves, oh, no, I'm just being tempted. And then they wonder why they're not pleasing God. Why they feel the void, the shame, the death in them. Church, we need to find that line. Where is the line that separates? Temptation is a temptation. You are just being tempted. Sin is a sin. That then it's done. Once you sin, then you were tricked. You are down. You need to get up. Clean up yourself. Take up your cross and follow Jesus with your cross. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray that we know how to recognize and resist any temptations that crosses our minds. Let's pray. Let's pray that we can, by the power of God, recognize, find that line that separates the temptation from the sin. Temptation comes to all men. Even Jesus was tempted. And we are not better than Jesus. There's no shame on being tempted. Don't feel ashamed if you're being tempted. It's not okay to be tempted. That's not what I'm preaching. You want to stay away from that line that separates as much as you can. You don't want to be right at the line. You want to stay away from that line. You need to find that line that separates your temptation from your sin. And you need to stay away from that line as much as you can. But do not cross that line. It's going to bring death upon your life. All sins bring death and separation from God. Amen. Let's stand up and ask God to reveal that line. We help. Let's pray right now. And you are welcome to come to the altar and to God to reveal to you where is the line. If you already crossed the line, don't despair. If you already crossed that line, if you already in sin, God is mighty, is powerful. It's the shame on the devil. Shame on the devil. Because there is hope for you. We have a mighty God. A powerful God. He loves you. At the point he would die for you. What else he wouldn't do for you? You are the most precious creation from God. You are the most important thing in the universe. In the eyes of God. The human soul. God cares about you. He loves you. He loves you. Unconditional love. And he wants to strengthen you. He wants you to know that there is a difference between being tempted and sin. And there is a line right there that separates two of them. Isn't that wonderful? Let's close our eyes right now. Our minds on God. You are welcome to come to the altar. Let's pray. God, in the name of Jesus, we humble ourselves before you. We came here today. Lord, we all go through tribulations. Lord, we know that you had all types of temptations. You were tempted in all things. You, Lord, was tempted, and so we. Lord, we praise you. We ask you, help us to recognize, to see the line. Where is that line of God that separates temptation from sin? Help us, oh God, to be strong, to be filled with your Holy Ghost. Help us, oh Lord, stand up. Pick ourselves up. Focus on you. To look at you. Help us not to look at ourselves. Help us not to look at the storm that we are going through. Help us not to look at, oh God, all the criticism around us. Oh God, help us to focus in your word. Oh Lord, help us, oh Jesus, to be strong on you. Help us to have the discernment of your word, of your will in our lives. Help us, oh God, to be strong in you and to overcome sin and to overcome, oh God, temptation. Help us to resist the devil. Help us to resist the world. Help us to resist ourselves. Oh God, help us to guard our hearts. Help us to guard our minds. Help us, oh Lord, to guard our tongues, our eyes, oh God. Oh Lord, help us, oh Lord, to put a filter in our ears for things that we hear. Oh God, help us to think before we speak. Oh Lord, help us, oh Jesus. Only you, through your Holy Ghost, can do that. Only you can change us. Only you can mold us. Only you, oh Lord. We make ourselves flexible, Lord, to you, so you can mold us according to your way. Oh Jesus, how we love you. How we earn to be holy. How we want to be like you. How we want to follow you, God. How we want to please you, God. Oh Jesus, how we want to be like you. Help us, oh God. We love you. Hallelujah. We praise you. We want to, Lord, praise you with our lifestyle, not just by words, God, by deeds of, oh God, help us to show our faith through our lifestyle. Oh God, not just by words, but by our lives. In Jesus' name, so we can walk in victory, so we can reach for the dying and lost world. Lord, and help us, oh Lord, to be fighting, oh God, for your kingdom, and not put our arms down just because we think that we are in the end time and it's done, it's already the end. No, it's not the end. Lord, help us, oh God, to focus on you and your holiness. We love you with our hearts, our souls, our mind. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you. Amen. Amen. Put your hands together. Amen. Amen. Now shake somebody's hands and say, there is a line that separates temptation from sin.